Welcome to the May 24th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. While Pastor Jonathan is away spending time with his family, we are blessed to have some wonderful people to give of themselves to bring us a message. This week, our own elder, Jim Harris, brings a message titled, How to Be a True Christian. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Here's Jim.
Lord, open our eyes that we might see and open our ears that we might hear. And Lord, as we listen to your word, that it will come and apply directly to our lives and to our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, where we seem to take things into our own hands and try to do it our way. We pray, Lord, that you will have complete control and that you will indeed open our minds and illumine us to what you have for us this day. For I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We live in an age of self-help books that are entitled in some way the how-to books, with titles like How to Live a Healthy Life, How to Be a Success, How to Be a Positive Person, and obviously that's one I haven't read yet. And How to Get That Promotion You Always Wanted. We encounter many books stating the principles and duties that we need to follow or we must follow in order that we can be the person we think we want to be, that we can be as successful as we dream of, and that we can accomplish the task that we think we want and need to accomplish. In the passage that Bruce read for us, we find that Paul is giving us a guide to how to be a true Christian. The overarching principle that we've read in that passage, and you've noticed in almost all of the songs that have been sung, is the fact that we must truly love God and we must love one another. First John speaks very pointedly at this particular need. We read in 1 John 4, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Also in 1 John 3, we read, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And also we read in 1 John 4, whoever loves God must love his brother. Before we begin to look at this passage to see what Paul is telling the church in Romans, in Rome, and is telling each church and its members that read these words today about the responsibilities, the duties, and principles of being the Christian that God desires each of us to be, I'd like to say just a few words about this church and how it is continuing to live out many of these principles. We came to this church about 20 years ago. We were hurting and needing a place of refuge, a place that we could once again feel God's love through his people. We needed to be nurtured and loved back into the full grace of God, and we found what we were needing in this church, which was filled with so many people that exhibited and continue to exhibit God's love with word and with action. I love and appreciate all of you that make up this congregation, and I see that you are being used as an instrument of God through the actions that you take and the love that you share. This has also become even more evident to me over these last few weeks as I've seen your love and your actions during this tragic time for Jonathan and Tara. So as we look at the message that Paul is sending to the church at Rome, I want you to know that I feel that many of you are already doing much of what Paul was inspired to write. However, I think we need to recognize that we need to continue to grow in love. We need to love God more, and we need to love those who God brings into our midst. God has used many of you in mighty ways, but His desire is to use you even more as we move forward. As we look at more closely at this passage, we're going to see the different aspects of this love that we need to have. And I hope later, if you go back and reread Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, that you will feel God speaking to you as He did to me about the manner that we are to love God's people, especially those whom He has led to this church. A commentator said, there is a mutual love that Christians owe and must pay. So let's look at the various aspects of the love and kind of have a guide for you in the bulletin or in there. We need to have first an affectionate love. If you look at verse 9 and the first part of 10, we read, love must be sincere. In the other, it said, love must be genuine. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. There can be no hypocrisy, no play acting, and no ulterior motives. No covered love, no selfish love. Christian love should be cleansed of self. And it should be a real concern and a real desire for the heart and lives of others. There should be a brotherly love for those who know Christ as their Savior. We are members of one family, brothers and sisters of one Father, God. I've heard it said many times, blood is thicker than water, and I assume, among other things, that this means that we must be able to love our family even in those times that they may not be so lovable. And I want you to understand, these words could be applied to our personal family, but I see what I'm reading and what Paul's writing. He's writing to a church family. So as we look at this, we're looking at our family being the congregation, the members of First EPC of Anna. We need to focus on the fact that we are truly family. And we need to show a love for our family members that God, through Jesus Christ, shows to each of us. Secondly, we need to have a respectful love. The second part of verse 10 says, honor one another above yourselves. Or, we must give each person priority with honor. The majority of trouble that arises in churches, and our church is not excluded, concerns rights, privileges, and prestige. Some may feel that they have not been given their proper place or recognition. We need to remember that the mark of a true Christian has always been humility. One commentator said, there is enough of the natural man in most of us to like to get our rights. But the Christian man has no rights. He has only duties. Thirdly, we need to have a liberal love. Verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In a world that is bent on getting, a Christian needs to be bent on giving. Giving sacrificially and generously. We as Christians need to be hospitable. A home is never happy when it is selfish. There are so many needs in our world today, and even within our church. And I know that we get tired of all the requests that we get from the various sources. And we may even get tired of receiving information about the needs of our church. However, God has given us what we have to use a portion of it for His kingdom, for His church, and for His glory. A quote that I think we should remember is, Christianity is a religion of the open hand, the open heart, and the open door. Fourthly, we need to have a sympathizing love. In verse 15, you would read, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Some have said that the bond of tears is the strongest of all. We need to be able to mourn and grieve with those who are grieving in whatever way that requires. But we also need to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, which at times I think is harder for some of us than it is to mourn with those that are mourning. When life is dealing rather harshly with us, it may be difficult for us to be happy when someone else, some other member of our family, our church family, is finding real joy. But this is what God's love requires. We must rejoice when someone else got that promotion that we were expecting to get. When they received what we desired, and when they seem to be receiving the blessings that we've been praying for months to have. If we truly love, we must do both. Fifthly, we need to have a united love. Verse 16, the first part of verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Other translations will say, be of the same mind, one toward the other. We each have personal likes and dislikes, which can be difficult, make it difficult to live in harmony, to live that united love. However, living in harmony is extremely important to our church and its welfare. When strife enters into a church, the hope of doing much good is often gone. The only way that we can come to that place of harmony is to seek God's desire for us as individuals and as a church. It is through Him and Him only that we can attain the harmony that is necessary for us to be found doing His will. We read in Ephesians 4 the following words, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Sixthly, we need to have a condescending love. The latter part of verse 16 says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I feel we need to come to that place in our lives, if we're not already there, that we are the humble people that God expects. None of us should ever be prideful or conceited. No task nor person should ever be considered beneath us. Nor should our willingness to accept a particular task or to be a friend of a particular individual be hampered by our pride. God is not a respecter of persons. He does not give more love to one individual than he does to another. He loves each unconditionally and expects nothing less from each of us. Seventhly, we need to have an active and enthusiastic love for God. Reading in verses 11 and 12, it says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." I especially like that verse. As a Christian, we must be, or we need to be, enthusiastic in the manner that we demonstrate our love for Christ. We need to show the joy that we find in Christ. I think it's necessary for us to present ourselves as optimistic in our witness and in the way we live our lives. Bad things will happen, but we must endure in our faith during these difficult times. We're said to be the bearers of good news. So how can we be believed if we come across in a lethargic or depressed manner? We need to keep up our spiritual fervor. None of this can be accomplished without constant prayer. We must be in conversation with God in order that the Holy Spirit can continue to fill us with the confidence and the fervor which shows our love for Christ and love for His people. It has been stated, the Christian may burn out, but he must not rust out. Eighthly, we need to have a love that seeks to live peaceably with others. Verse 18 said, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Make every effort to live at peace with everybody." And Matthew 5:9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." I see this as speaking not only to those we consider family, members of this church, but it speaks of those we associate with who are not of our family or even possibly of God's family. It should be our desire to live peaceably or peacefully. However, you notice in this verse, it's not presented in an unqualified form. There are two qualifications. The first qualification was, if it is possible. There may come those times when the claims of kindness or compassion must give way to the claims of principle. We must stand up for what is correct and what is right, even if it does not ensure peace. And secondly, the second qualification says, as far as it depends on you. There may be those situations that require the sacrifice of peace, but we need to be sure that we have done everything in our power to establish that peace. Ninthly and lastly, we need to have a love that does not avenge or seek revenge. In verses 19 through 21, we read, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, I think for us as humans, this particular aspect of love is very difficult for us to honor and to carry out. We have a tendency to want to live by the Old Testament code, was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Paul would tell us in these verses that we are not to be overcome with evil, but we're to overcome evil with good. To allow ourselves to seek revenge is to allow ourselves to be conquered by evil. To treat a person with kindness rather than vengeance is a way to move him or change him. And this kindness can break his heart. As you look back over this, Paul's telling the church at Rome, these are the different aspects of love that you need. And as we look at our own lives, we probably can see in these different aspects, the nine that have been mentioned, that some of them we're pretty good at, but some of them we're a little lacking in. And I think what we need to do is to seriously look at our lives and see, where are we showing God's love in a good way? And where are we deficient? What do we need to work on to make ourselves the kind of Christian that God so wants us to be, that we can be effective for His kingdom and it got tired of hearing me too, so it's okay. I'd like you to hear, as we close this particular message, the words from 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, I thank You for all the aspects. I thank You for the praise that I've heard. I thank You for the music that we've been privileged to hear. But Lord, I pray in all of those things that You have been glorified this day. Lord, I pray that as we think about what the message You have for us in this particular passage in Romans, that You will enable us to grow in love for You, that You will point out where we need further growth, and Lord, that You will simply lead us in that we may experience the complete love in all aspects that You would have for us. Lord, I thank You so much for Your Son and for the fact that He was willing to come and die for us. May we live for Him in a way that would be glorifying to You and that would reflect who our true Master is. For I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.